Daf Lamed Tes. So we had said before about how Rabbi Yochanan said a bracha on an olive. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rav Zeira, how was Rabbi Yochanan able to say a bracha on only one olive? When he removed the pit, the olive would be less than a kezias, because a kezias is the amount that an olive is with a pit. And once it's less than that amount, then you can't say a bracha. So the Rav Zeira answered, no, you don't need the size of a large olive to be able to say a bracha. You need the size of a medium olive to be able to say a bracha. So Rabbi Yochanan was eating a large olive, and when he took out the pit, then it was the same equivalent. It was the equivalent of a kezias of a medium-sized olive, and so he was allowed to make a bracha. We proved from the Mishnah that we need the medium-sized olive to say brachos, which is the medium-sized olive is called agure. And Rabbi Abahu says, no, really it's called avrute, but the reason we call it agure is because there's oil is gathered within it. So going back to our machlokas about the bracha that you say on cooked vegetables, whether it's shahakol or hadama, so let's say it's the same as this machlokas tanaim, that there were two talmidim who were eating with bar kafra. These were all tanaim, by the way. And they were eating together cabbage, spinach, and pargio. So Bar Kafra let one of the Talmidim say the bracha, and he said a shahakol on the pargiot, on the chicken. So then the other guy mocked him for not saying a hadamah on the cabbage. So Bar Kafra got very upset at the other guy for mocking his friend, his colleague, and he also got upset at the other guy who made the bracha for not asking Bar Kafra what the correct bracha was, because he clearly he made the wrong bracha. And the Braisa says that these guys, they did not actually live out that year. So clearly, wasn't so good. So it seems like we could say that the Machlokas is that one says you should say a Shahakol on the one who said a Shahakol said it on the chicken, because he holds that cooked cabbage is a Shahakol because it's a cooked vegetable, and therefore he said the Bracha on the food that was his favorite. While the one who says that you should have said Hadamah, he holds that cooked vegetables are Hadamah, and therefore you should have said the Hadamah on cabbage, the Hadamah would take precedence over the Shahakol. And we answered, no, all agree that on cooked vegetables you say a Shahakol, and the one who said the Bracha on the Pargiot said that still the Shahakol would take precedence when the Pargiot is your favorite food out of all of them. You would say the Bracha on your favorite food. And the one who says that you should have said the bracha on the cabbage says that even though they're both shahakol, you should have said the bracha on the cabbage because the cabbage provides sustenance. Rav Zeira says that Rav Huna would say that turnips cut into large pieces, you would say hadamah, but if they're cut into small pieces, you would say a shahakol, because he held that dicing them up into these small pieces was a negative change in the vegetable, which would lower the bracha status. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, really both of them are hadamah, because dicing them really small is actually a positive change because it makes them sweeter. Rashi says that Rav Kahana would say that a cooked beet dish without a lot of flour is hadamah. However, if it has a lot of flour, you would say mizonos. But he actually retracted and said both cooked beet dishes, whether it has a lot of flour or not, would be a hadamah, because the flour is there only for adhesion, and so you wouldn't make a mizonos on it, because you're not eating it for the food you're eating, it's just there to provide structure and support. Rav Chisda says that cooked beets are good for your heart, your eyes, and your digestive tract. Abaye says that this is as long as you left them on the stove until they got so soft that they were making a bubbling noise while you cook them. Rav Papa says that the soup of cooked beets or cooked turnips or really all cooked vegetables is the same as the vegetables themselves, meaning you'd say hadamah on these vegetable soups. But he said, what about soup that has dill in it? Is the dill there to enhance the flavor and therefore you would say hadamah? Or is the dill there to remove bad odors and therefore you would say a shahakol? So the Mishnah, we bring in a Mishnah to answer it that says that once dill has imparted its flavor onto a dish, that dill is not considered truma and it can't make other foods tameh. So this implies that dill is there to enhance the flavor and would be a hadamah. Reb Chiya bar Ashi says that you should say hamotzi on pieces of bread if they're in a bowl. Reb Chiya argues and says, no, you have to break the bread while you're saying the bracha. So Rava says, what's the difference Reb Chiya bar Ashi and Reb Chiya? Because at the end of the day, why would Reb Chiya, who says you have to break the bread during the bracha, why would he have a problem with Reb Chiya bar Ashi, who says that you say the bracha on pieces of bread? At the end of the day, they're both finishing the bracha on broken pieces of bread, because Reb Chiya seemingly holds that you break the bread in the middle of the bracha, and then you're still saying, you're concluding a bracha on broken pieces of bread. So Rava answers that, no, what he means to say is that you finish the bracha, and once you finish the bracha, then you would break the bread. So the Nehardim would do like Reb Chia, meaning that they would break the bread during the bracha, and the Rabbanan would do like Rava, that they would break the bread after the bracha. Rav Ina says that his mother said to him that your father does like Rav Chia, but the Rabbanan do like Rava. And the Halacha is actually like Rava. So if you have a whole loaf of bread versus a piece of bread, Rav Huna says you say the bracha on the pieces because it's a larger piece versus a smaller loaf, so you'd say it on the larger piece. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you say a bracha on the loaf because that's the better mitzvah to say it on the whole loaf. So, but they both agree, though, that if you have a whole loaf made out of barley versus a piece of bread made out of wheat, wheat being the much better grain, then you would say the bracha on the piece of wheat bread, and they all agree to that. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says that that ruling is actually also a machlokas tanaim. We have a Mishnah that says that if you have a small onion but it's whole, or a larger onion but it's cut in half, then you would give truma from the whole onion. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you'd give truma from the larger one even though it's only in half. So it seems like this machlokas is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you say that you do the significant one, the larger one, over the whole one, which is the same as Rav Huna, who says that you should do the larger piece over the whole bread, the whole loaf, whereas the Tana Kama is saying you give the whole onion over the significant, over the larger half onion, which is the same as Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you do the whole loaf over the larger piece. And all actually agree that when there's a kohen there to accept the truma, you give the larger half because you want to give it the better stuff. But they only argue when the kohen isn't there. Why? So the Mishnah explains that if there's a kohen there, you give the truma from the superior product, meaning the larger one. But if there's no kohen there, then the Tana Kama holds you give the truma from the longer lasting one. And obviously a whole onion is going to last longer than an onion cut in half. And Rav Yehuda holds, no, you always give from the superior, the larger one. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, in that case that we had before, where you had a whole loaf and a larger piece of bread, Marbarei D'Ravina would put the piece under the whole loaf of bread, and he would say the bracha on both. So there's a teacher of Braisos who taught this halacha before Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak praised him for making peace between Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna, because this is a good compromise. Rav Papa says that on Pesach, everyone agrees that you put the broken matzah under the whole matzah because it says lechem oni, and this is how poor people eat their bread. Rabbi Abba says that on Shabbos, you need two whole loaves of bread because it says lechem mishnah, meaning a double portion. Rav Kahana would actually take two loaves for the bracha, and he would only break one, he'd only eat one. Rav Zera would break off a large enough piece for the whole meal. Ravina questions this, though. He says, isn't it gluttonous to take so much bread at once? Because there's halacha, like, there's only so much bread you're supposed to take at one time. Taking this whole giant piece seems kind of gluttonous. So Rav Ashi says, no, since he doesn't do it all week long, and he only does it on Shabbos, then it's fine. It's clearly not gluttonous. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, when they would get the bread for the heir of Chatzeros, which is basically they would deposit some food at a house that was in the area, and then everyone would be able to carry in that area. So they would make a hamotzi on that bread on Sunday and eat it so that they would be able to use that bread for two mitzvos instead of just one. Shkayach.